Dear God, I stand exposed before you. I ask for an outpouring of your wisdom, grace, and healing. I invite you into my mind and heart so that I may return to the innocence of your love. I need forgiveness, God. My pain, loss, and righteous opinions have led me to be angry and hateful towards you. In the light of your mercy and holiness, I now open my heart. I am sorry, God, for the judgments and profane thoughts I've held towards you. For in my limited mind, I know not the perfection and grandeur of your divine design for my life. I ask for help to forgive and let go of my anger and blame. And I ask for your forgiveness now, so that I may receive your caring guidance and blessings every day. I am forever moved and say thank you, God, for your miraculous, unconditional acceptance and forgiveness. I choose now to be embraced in your peace and rest in your tender, loving arms. And so it is, and it is so. Amen. Forgiving others. Take away my grudges. Take away my pain. Release me of my hatred. My heart is healed of blame. Once we have forgiven ourselves and forgiven God, we are up for the real task, to forgive others. And again, I will quote my favorite spiritual teacher, Emmett Fox. When you hold resentment against anyone, you are attaching yourself by a hook that is stronger than steel. Now, would you want to be bound to a person who has hurt you, betrayed you, lied to you, fucked you, by something stronger than steel? How stupid would that be? First, they rip part of your heart out, and then you give the rest of it to them? By clinging to your resentments, you rob yourself not only of your power and peace of mind, but also of your connection to your holiness. It makes no sense. And don't think you are hurting them with your grudges and resentments. Most of these people don't care if you're hurt or angry. It's no skin off their back. In fact, some people you hate are dead. So now, you not only don't have your power, but you also have buried it alive in someone else's grave. Crazy, right? I've personally been through many difficult times in my life. Some were definitely self-induced, and some were probably karmic, in other words, unavoidable or meant to be. But no matter how they came about or whose fault they were, whether I created them or co-created them, whether I believed myself to be the victim or the victimizer, they are over now, and it no longer matters who was right or who was wrong, what they did or what I did. The only thing that matters is whether I can see the consequences of my actions or inactions, and whether I've learned the lessons that these experiences have tried to bestow upon me. There are a few questions that I always try to spend a sufficient amount of time dwelling on when I'm seeking the gifts that ultimately lead me to forgiveness. How can I use this experience to become the kind of person my soul longs to be? How can I use this lesson so that others can learn from me and maybe bypass a difficult life experience? How can I use this incident to heal my heart? How can I use this lesson to help heal the planet? Believe me, when I'm angry or hurt, the last thing I want to do is ask these questions. Hurt and anger leave me feeling righteous and shut down. So first I have to heal the anger and the hurt, which is really the deeper invitation of the prayers in this section. To begin, I have to give myself permission to feel, be with, and accept all the anger and hurt I'm carrying. I have to get out of my head, where I can justify and rationalize all my pain, and get to the heart of my inner child, the little sensitive part of me that likes to hold on to my pain as a form of self-protection. I have to, with open arms, give myself all the internal space I need to do the kind of healing work necessary to let go of the past, to forgive myself, and to forgive others. I have to acknowledge the aspect of myself that would rather hang on for dear life to my story, my position, my evidence, and my reasons, rather than take responsibility and give up the blame. By being willing to let go, I am fertilizing the ground of my consciousness, a necessity if I am to grow and move forward. It is the process of tilling the soil of my psyche and weeding the dead and useless emotional weeds so I can prepare my soul for new and exciting futures to emerge. We only hold on to our resentments when we are still trying to prove we are right and the other person is wrong, or when we are still trying to change what happened in the past or to gain a sense of control over our present circumstances. Maybe we still love the person, so we would rather be connected to them in a negative way than not to be connected at all. Or maybe they have become our excuse for why we don't have it all, for why we are stuck, or for why we continue to beat ourselves up. These are just a few of the reasons why we hold on to our resentments. But no matter what the reason, if we want to move on, to have a greater life than the one we have right now, we must forgive. Just to be clear, you don't do this for the other person. You forgive for the sake of yourself. You do it for your freedom. Your resentments give others your power, your precious life force, your unlimited future. I recommend you take it all back and forgive. Next is a prayer that will make it far easier for you to do this. Begin with the intention to heal your heart. Cutting the cord. Please fill in the blanks with your own experience. Dear God, with a heavy heart I come to you today, humbly asking your assistance to do what I have not been able to do for myself. I ask you to guide me and help me to forgive. Today I admit to you and to myself that the resentment and rage that I hold against is robbing me of an unencumbered future, a future filled with thousands of great possibilities that I am unable to see. Today, I am brave enough to admit that until I let go of the resentment against, I will always be dragging him, her, with me everywhere I go, giving him, her, my power, my peace, and my happiness. Please, God, today, let me know deep in my heart and soul that all things happen for a reason, and even though I may not understand what that reason is right now, I trust you are looking after me and will provide me with wisdom and insight in your perfect time. Please, God, let me see the blessings of what I have received and what I have learned from, so the pain of my heart will be transformed into gratitude, and the confusion in my mind will turn to clarity. Please grant me the courage I need to let the cords that bind me to, in negative ways, unravel with ease and effortlessness. Let me have the guts to cut the negative cords that continue to strip me of my self-esteem and bind me to. Today, please support me in saying goodbye, in transforming my hurt, anger, disappointment, and pain into lucky wisdom that will serve me in unimaginable ways in my future. Please grant me peace with this person. Thank you in advance for doing this with me. Thank you for being with me in times of heartache and loss. Thank you for filling my mind right now with the knowledge that I can do this. Thank you for filling my body with the strength of courage. With you right now, I take back my power. I see, standing before me with a humble face. I see myself 10 times bigger than. I see the cords that have kept us tied together in negative ways, and I see myself cutting those cords now. And I say to, I love you, and I let you go forever. I forgive you, and I release you now. I see, floating away, getting smaller and smaller and smaller, until he, she, disappears from my view. I breathe deeper now as I thank you, God, for I am free. I now see one of the many gifts I will receive by choosing the bold and courageous act of forgiveness. I am free. I am free. I am free. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. And so it is. And it is so. Amen. As stated in A Course in Miracles, scribed by Helen Schuckman, and one of the most spiritual texts ever written, the holiest of all the spots on earth is where an ancient hatred becomes a present love. Allow your holiness to dwell once again in the holy land of forgiveness. An evil eye. God watch over me. God protect me as I watch over and protect myself. The great question is, do we put our trust in God to keep us out of harm's way, or do we take precautions to protect ourselves? There is an old Arabic story about a camel herder who, concerned about the safety of his flock, posed this question to the Prophet Muhammad. Great Prophet, he asked, should I shackle the legs of my camels at night, or should I have faith in Allah that they will be there in the morning? Muhammad's answer was both practical and wise. Trust in God, and shackle the legs of your camel, he said. In many cultures, and for many people around the world, calling in divine protection is part of their daily ritual. They might hang an evil eye near their front door, or wear it as jewelry around their wrist. The intention of the red string, worn by people who study Kabbalah, is to guard against evil and protect oneself. It's an act of love to be responsible for ourselves, to guard ourselves against negative energies. We must be responsible for the energies that we allow in. Loving ourselves and honoring our instincts is a generous act of self-love, and it requires we be fully aware of and trusting of our instincts. We must open our eyes and see them as God's little nudges. When we pray for protection, it is the process of guarding our precious heart and our gentle soul. There was a time when I didn't believe there was anything that we needed to be protected from except ourselves. And today, I can honestly say, I know that not to be true. There are people who are out there who want to harm others. There are people who want to take from others and who want what is yours to be theirs. There are people who are angry, jealous, envious, who feel less than you and want to be more than you, who want to get even with you. There are people you've hurt whom you didn't even know you hurt. Maybe when you met your husband, somebody else was in love with him. Maybe at the hair salon, while sharing about the grandeur of your family, you inadvertently opened the wound of someone who has lost love. When people take from you without regard, this is another wake-up call, requiring that you step into the next greatest version of yourself. This behavior, although it seems like it is against you, is nothing personal. And it is only when you are wounded that you make it so personal. Often the victim could have been any of a million other faces. Unfortunately, you just happen to be the one who got in their way. People without conscience or who victimize others feel entitled to take whatever they want, even if it doesn't belong to them. This is just part of the human experience, and the biggest mistake any of us can make is to pretend this isn't so and to stay blind to the forces of evil. There are many forces that show up through other people and that we need to be conscious of, not so we live a fearful, guarded life, but so we are consciously aware, watching our own backs, so to speak, and so we have the presence of mind to call on all the powers that are available to help us. Calling on the divine powers of protection may support us in tuning in and listening to our instincts. It may help us to wake up the part of ourselves that already knows there are people who have bad intentions. The prayer in the following chapter is designed to help protect you. It is a way to ensure you keep your eyes wide open on a day-to-day basis. This prayer will help you heighten your senses. You don't have to walk around with your back up, but if there is a reason to be aware, you will become aware. This is a prayer you can say every day for protection. Protect me. Dear God, I ask you, the angel of protection, my guides, my highest self, and any and all powers that be, to protect me today. I invite the part of me that is intuitively aware of my surroundings to be with me, guiding me today. Please, God, cloak me with an impenetrable shield of light. Watch over me today, and watch over my family and those whom I love. Protect my precious heart, and give me the courage to see my enemy and do whatever it may take to guard myself against evil. Angel of protection, guard me from those who minimize me, those who criticize me, those who seek to attack me mentally, physically, or spiritually. I ask that your impenetrable shield of light surround me and deflect and push back anyone who seeks to harm me and anyone who might be jealous or envious of me. Today I ask the angel of protection to watch over me, guide me, and support me in being completely aware of my instincts and my intuition. Allow me to know when to back away from somebody, to know when to open my heart and when to guard it. Let me know when to lock my car, when to help a stranger, and when to seek refuge. I thank you, God, for doing this for me. I thank my divine essence and the angels of protection for protecting my vulnerable heart, for shielding my sensitive spirit, for loving me enough and giving me enough courage to stand tall and strong, even when I'm terrified. Today, I see myself knowing who it's safe to be close to and who to stand back from. Today, I honor my amazing, intuitive knowing. Today, I am awed by the courage I have to trust my own instincts. Thank you, dear God, for all of this. I feel your power surrounding me now. I feel your shield of light covering me, protecting me, guarding me, and loving me. I see any negativity bouncing off me and going right back into the earth where it is absorbed. And each time that happens, I see myself getting stronger, knowing that even with all expressions of my light, darkness may come again. Today, I choose to be responsible for protecting myself, for staying powerfully connected, and for having the courage to set strong boundaries. Together with you, God, I say, and so it is, and it is so. Amen. When you walk out the door, take a moment to be aware of your surroundings and be attuned to the people you interact with. Your job is to keep you safe, so always remember that God has blessed you with an internal barometer to help guide you and keep you safe. Here is a quick little verse to use to evoke protection. I am divinely loved and guided. My divine instincts are finely tuned. I am protected and safe. I thank you, God, for watching over me and guiding me to watch over myself. Section 6. Reclaiming Your Light. In awe of the potential of the human spirit, I'm standing in the greatest and grandest version of myself. I'm basking in the magic of the universe, drenched in the good vibrations of God's love. Hallelujah! The light inside me is now on. What does it take to step into and reclaim your holiness? I'm going to assert that it is much easier than you might imagine. Most of us think we have to become something, learn something, succeed at something, or achieve something. But in truth, the realization of our holiest self requires nothing from the outer world. Stepping into our holiness is merely a process of acceptance, of being willing to see the totality of ourselves. It is the recognition of the magnificence and grandness of our potential. In my first book, The Dark Side of the Light Chasers, I borrowed a metaphor from John Wellwood's book, Love and Awakening, in which he used a castle to illustrate the vast world that lies within us. Imagine that you are a magnificent castle with long hallways connecting to thousands of rooms. Every room in your castle is perfect and possesses a special gift. Each room represents a different aspect of yourself and is an integral part of the entire castle. As a child, you explored every inch of your castle without shame or judgment. Fearlessly, you entered every room, searching for its jewels and its mysteries. Lovingly, you embraced every room, whether it was a closet, a bedroom, a bathroom, or a cellar, knowing that each room was a unique and vital part of the place you called home. Your castle was full of light, love, and wonder. Then one day, someone came to your castle and told you that one of your rooms was imperfect, that surely it didn't belong in your castle. They suggested if you wanted to have a perfect castle, you should close and lock the door to that particular room. Because you wanted love and acceptance, you quickly closed off that room, and chances are you never looked back. As time went by, more and more people came to your castle. They all gave you their opinions of your rooms, telling you which ones they liked and which ones they didn't. And slowly you shut one door after another. Your marvelous rooms were closed off, taken out of the light, and put into the dark. A cycle had begun. From that time on, you closed more and more doors for all kinds of reasons. You closed off rooms because you were afraid, or rooms that you thought were too bold. You closed the doors to rooms that were too boring or too conservative. You closed doors because other castles you saw did not have a room like yours. You closed doors because your religious leaders told you to stay away from certain rooms. You closed any door that did not fit into society's standards or your own ideals about where you should live or who you should be. Like most of us, you may have locked away so many of your internal rooms that in time you forgot you were ever a magnificent castle. And you may have come to believe you are just a small two-bedroom house in need of repairs. Now imagine your castle as the place where you house all of who you are, the good and the bad, the acceptable and the unacceptable, the beautiful and the ugly. One of the rooms in your castle represents love. One represents courage, one represents elegance, and another represents grace. There are an endless number of rooms in your castle, and every aspect that exists on the planet also exists within you. Creativity, honesty, integrity, health, assertiveness, sexiness, power, timidity, hatred, greed, frigidity, laziness, arrogance, sickness, and evil all occupy rooms in your castle. Each room is an essential part of the structure, and each room has an opposite somewhere in your castle. Fortunately, you are never satisfied with being less than what you are capable of being, and your discontent is the impetus, the little nudge that motivates you to search for all the lost rooms of your castle. You can find the key to your uniqueness and unlock the full potential of your holiness only when you make the courageous choice to open up all the rooms in your castle, removing the cobwebs, drawing the curtains, throwing open the windows, and letting the sunlight in again. The castle is a metaphor to help you grasp the enormity of who you are. You may believe that you possess some positive traits and not others, but you are all things. What makes you laugh as well as what makes you cry. You are every beautiful and ugly trait rolled into one. It's vital that you seek out and find the light aspects of yourself that you have hidden away, because you can experience your holiness only when you're in the presence of the magnificence of all that you are. Then you will truly be in the presence of God. The Bible proclaims, "The kingdom of God is within you." This kingdom is easily accessed if we are ready and willing to see the totality of who we are. Most of us are scared of what we will find behind the doors to the rooms we have locked away. So instead of setting out on an adventure to find our hidden selves full of excitement and wonder, we keep pretending the rooms don't exist. And the longer we deny and ignore the many unexplored chambers of our interior life, the more separation and loneliness we feel. Every one of us has countless rooms inside, and happiness comes to those of us who become dauntless explorers of the rooms in our souls. When we embrace the fullness of our humanity, we come face to face with our divinity. Most of us are blind to the light that we are and the vast and mighty potential that we hold because we have projected so much of our inner light onto other people. Projection is the unconscious act of transferring an aspect of yourself onto somebody else. But why attribute a portion of your light, your power, or your brilliance to another human being? Most likely because you were taught from a very young age that there was something inappropriate about some aspect of who you are. It happens so quickly, so simply. Somebody might have called you stupid when you were young. And you took that harsh word to heart, making it mean not just that you were stupid, but also that you weren't smart. With that one unconscious decision, you unknowingly cut yourself off from the brilliant part of yourself, which we all have, by the way, and transferred it to someone you perceived as having a degree of brilliance that you did not. You may have heard the words, "You're good for nothing," at some point in your childhood, and as a result, you decided that you were unworthy of love or worth less than another. You then closed the door on your worthy self and instead went about collecting evidence that you are, in fact, unworthy. Maybe you were told to be quiet or settle down, and as a result, you disowned that big, fully self-expressed part of yourself, the part of you that has the guts and the courage to go out into the world and light people up. If you grew up with imperfect parents or imperfect teachers or religious leaders with big agendas, I am certain you were made wrong more than once for expressing parts of yourself. So you opted for a course of action you hoped would preserve the love and acceptance of those around you. You hid those aspects. You squelched them. And you closed the door on them. Most of us were taught not to acknowledge our greatness, lest we be perceived as vain or conceited. We may have been told to restrain our sexuality, our creativity, or our boldness as well. And we became afraid that these aspects might make others feel insecure. As a result, we express only a fraction of our true potential. The rest remains hidden in the recesses of our light shadow, hidden from others and also hidden from ourselves. As with the creation of the dark shadow, we subconsciously distance ourselves from many of our deepest gifts until we no longer recognize them as our own. I am that. Sometimes the only way you become aware of the glorious aspects of yourself that you've locked away is when you see them reflected back at you. In fact, one of the best ways to glimpse your own greatness is to look outside yourself to see who you deem as holy and to whom you have transferred your light. What if all the holy, enlightened spiritual beings who have lived throughout the ages, like Buddha, Jesus, and Gandhi, are merely reflecting back to you the potential of your human spirit? What if they live to show you the vastness of your divinity, to model for you what's possible when you stand inwardly unified, accepting and loving of all of who you are? You claim another degree of responsibility for your life when you take back your light. There's no more whining, story, or excuse. Because you are declaring, I am that. I am that which I see in you. It's important to realize that all the people you project your light onto already have enough light. They don't need your light. You need your light. As Alan Cohen says in his book, The Dragon Doesn't Live Here Anymore, great masters neither want nor need your worship. Your greatest gift to them and yourself is to emulate their divinity by claiming it as your own. The Buddhists have a trick they use for taking back a projection. They have you think about somebody you have a judgment about. In this case, somebody you have a positive judgment about. And imagine that this person is standing right in front of you. Now take your hand and hold it directly out in front of you. Point your index finger toward the person whom you judge as being brighter, more lovable, or somehow holier than you. In pointing your finger at what you love and admire in them, you have just identified an unclaimed aspect of yourself. As a human, you do not have the ability to see yourself unless you are looking in a mirror. But you are ingeniously designed to see yourself in another. What stands out when you look at another, whether it is positive or negative, is a reflection of yourself. Let me show you how this works. Right now, if I were to think about somebody I love, who I'm deeply inspired by, who lights me up, turns me on, and impels me to be more, it would be Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. To take back the light projection that I have on him, I would first take a moment to think about what specifically it is I love about him. What qualities do I see in him that light me up? After reflecting on this, I see that it is Dr. King's fearlessness and courage that I find so inspiring. Having identified these qualities, I then imagine Dr. King standing right in front of me. I hold my arm out, point my finger directly at him, and say, "You are fearless and courageous." Then I look out at my hand, and I see one of my fingers is pointing at him, but three of my fingers are pointing back at me. So what does this tell me? Dr. King is reflecting back to me my denied fearlessness and courage. To be holy is to acknowledge the whole of oneself. So I must reclaim these qualities in order to reclaim another level of my wholeness. I need to take ownership and claim these two qualities for myself, in myself. I must acknowledge that I too am fearless and courageous and willing to enter uncharted territories. I must acknowledge that I am expressing these qualities now by writing this book about prayer. It is outside my comfort zone. It takes courage to reveal this vulnerable, holy part of myself, which is often covered by a deceiving outer shell. And it doesn't even matter if some people already see me as being fearless and courageous, because it's not about anyone else seeing my light. It's about me seeing my light. I am the one who has to own it and claim it. I have to be willing to open that door to my castle. So I breathe into it, allowing myself to feel the fear of being fearless. There are people past and present, like the Dalai Lama, or John F. Kennedy, or Mother Teresa, or Oprah, who shine their light so incredibly brightly on behalf of us all, those who serve humanity as a whole. And while most of us would not argue that these are great and heroic people, it's imperative that we understand that they are also mirrors of our own potential. What we are drawn to and what lights us up in others exists within us as well. Of course, my courageousness will show up differently from Dr. King's, but because I too am here to serve the collective, and because I'm committed to making a difference in the world, I am deeply drawn to developing within myself the courage that makes this possible. The truth is, we have the potential to be all that we see in others. If we didn't have that same potential, we wouldn't see those aspects we admire in others. Our eyes wouldn't notice them. That's why, when you and I look at the same person, we each see and admire different qualities in them. You see your unclaimed light, and I see mine. We are only seeing ourselves. As long as we deny the existence of certain traits in ourselves, we continue to perpetuate the myth that others have something we don't. When we love, admire, or feel inspired by someone, it's an opportunity to find yet another buried aspect of our holiness. Whenever we are in awe of someone, it's a clue that we are seeing in them some quality that we have shut off within ourselves. So, as you look at holy beings like the Dalai Lama or Mother Teresa, or just people in your life whom you admire, try to distinguish the particular qualities they express that so inspire you. Are they unconditionally loving, compassionate, trusting, tolerant, powerful, kind, or generous? If so, you have just seen a part of yourself you have transferred to somebody else, a part of your holy self that you're not taking full ownership of. If you owned it completely, you wouldn't have to transfer it to anyone else. If you see greatness, then it is your own greatness you are seeing. Close your eyes and really think about this. Whenever I admire greatness in another human being, it is my own greatness I am seeing. You may manifest it in a different way, but if you didn't have that same quality of greatness within you, you wouldn't be able to recognize that quality in someone else. If you did not possess that quality, you would not be attracted to it. Everyone sees other people differently, because everyone is projecting different aspects of him or herself. In a seminar, I can ask 100 people to tell me what qualities they most love or respect about the great icons of our time. People we all have a strong recognition of. And I'll hear 40 different valued traits that people ascribe to each one of them. For example, with Paul McCartney, I'll hear artistic genius, musical pioneer, adorable, resilient, trailblazer, youthful, loyal, brilliant, prolific, and more. About Oprah, I'll hear words like magnificent, magical, generous, compassionate, funny, strong, authentic, dignified, spiritual, powerful, and visionary, just for starters. Of course, there are those who project negative traits on them as well, but we're focusing on the light now. If you want to discover the gifts of your dark side, I recommend reading my book, The Dark Side of the Light Chasers. Ultimately, it's your job to distinguish what holy attributes you are inspired by in other people, and then reclaim those aspects of yourself that you have given away. Until you are able to retrieve the light you have projected onto others, it will be impossible for you to experience the totality of who you really are. Your soul yearns to realize its full potential, to claim all its greatness, but only you can allow this to happen. Desperation comes from the gulf between God and self. To remember that you are one with all is to reawaken the God within you. This conversation about reclaiming your light would not be complete without including the spectacular passage in the following chapter, written by spiritual teacher and author Marianne Williamson. Letting your own light shine. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us. It's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Marianne Williamson, from A Return to Love. When you acknowledge the aspects of yourself that you've disowned, you can begin the process of reclaiming them through prayer. These prayers will support you in owning, acknowledging, embracing, and expressing all of your divine light. They will give you the courage to open each and every door of the magnificent castle that is your higher self. They will coax the holy aspects of you out of hiding and liberate the untapped potential you've kept hidden from yourself and from the world. As you recite these prayers as part of your daily practice, ask God for the willingness to glimpse your own magnificence, unmasked and in all its glory. The reclaiming of these holy aspects of yourself, whether they are compassionate, grateful, self-expressed, or abundant, is the exact process that will return you home, that will help you take back your light. In the presence of your true self, you will fall in love with your whole self. As the poet Rumi said, "By God, when you see your beauty, you'll be the idol of yourself." Reclaiming your light. Dear God, Goddess, Creator of all that is, today I close my eyes and invite into my conscious awareness all the holy parts of myself that have been hidden from my sight. I affirm that it's safe to open up to my deeply spiritual essence, to discover the divine thread that connects me to everyone else, seen and unseen, on the planet. I proclaim that it is safe to come face to face with my greatness, my gifts, my spiritual vastness, my holiness. Today, God, grant me the courage to stand without apology in the presence of all my greatness. Give me the insight to reclaim the light that I've attributed to or projected onto others. Allow me to open up and see what's possible for humankind when I stand fully in the presence of my holiness. Support me, please, in being present to the importance of my own holy self. Wash away anything that's between me and that divine thread, my divine essence. Allow me to be humble enough to know that I have nothing to do with how divine I am. Today, dear God, allow all the light that I've transferred out into the world to people I know and to people I don't know, to people who are alive and to people who have passed, to return to me. Bring all that light right now back into me. Let me open my arms, my heart, to the uniqueness of my humanity and the magnificence of my divinity. Let me know the divine as myself. Holy Inspiration. Uncork the limitless flow of heavenly wisdom. Let the divine influence pour forth from the depths of my soul. Let me drink the magical ambrosia of God's love as I am inspired to reach new heights. Inspiration is magical, ever-present, and unlimited. You only have to tap into it. You don't have to become inspired. You are inspired. Beyond all limitations of human life, inspiration is the emanating force of the universe. It lives vibrantly in the present moment when you are connected to God and know yourself and God as one. When you step outside your intellect, your mind, your emotions, and your ego. Inside your ego structure, you can be excited, motivated, and even driven, but that is not inspiration. Inspiration comes from the invisible world, bringing spirit into matter. You just have to reach up and pull it down. There have been many times when I've been leading a workshop or giving a lecture and simultaneously going through a challenge in my personal life. Stuck, trapped, locked inside my ego's pain. But with hundreds of people waiting to participate with me to transform some aspect of their lives, there's no time for me to dwell on my personal issues. Instead, I have to go beyond them. I have to reach up and pull God in. I have to step outside the smallness of my individual self and tap into the collective pool of higher consciousness. In this sacred pool is all the inspiration any one of us could ever want. Inspiration is the spiritual fuel of a divinely connected life. To access inspiration, all you have to do is melt away whatever worry, concern, thought, or belief is keeping you separate from the level of consciousness where inspiration resides. Inspiration is a vibrational frequency. You have to make the choice to stop doubting yourself and your connection to God. You have to give up your need to feel small and invisible. You have to hand over your resignation, your meekness, your inadequacy, and give up being stuck. You have to give up the idea that you don't have it or you don't know how to access it. And you have to hand over all your small, disconnected thoughts to the goddess of inspiration. When you are no longer clinging to the thoughts of your ego, you are free to step into the power of your love and the brilliance of your being. As you say the following prayer, imagine calling forth the goddess of inspiration. I envision her as a beautiful woman, light, airy, passionate, and absolutely self-expressed. Give her permission to reveal herself to you, to move through you and guide you. Unleashing your inspiration. Dear Goddess of Inspiration, please bless me with your presence today. Allow me to look through your big, beautiful, wide-open eyes, the eyes that see my goodness and know my greatness, the eyes that invite the miraculous to occur, the eyes that dance with the magic of the universe. Goddess of Inspiration, allow me to rise above my fears, doubts, concerns, and day-to-day dramas so that I may step into your magical, pulsating energy field of inspiration. Allow anything other than my most inspired moments to melt away, to be removed, to drop off me like a loose piece of clothing. Tell me what I need to let go of today in order to merge with you completely in this moment. Give me the opportunity to stand fully present with all that is available to me today. Allow me to feel the ecstasy that is possible for me today. Allow me to see what hearts I can touch today. Allow me to hear the words I can communicate, write, and think today that would uplift me and all those around me. Goddess of Inspiration, surround me with your golden, beautiful, warm, tingly light, and allow me now to step into my most inspired self. I claim it. I choose it. I commit to you now to walk as my most inspired self, to talk as my most inspired self, to create, to give, to love, to parent, and to work as my most inspired self, always drawing upon your energy as my fuel. I claim now that I am all I can see, and because I can see you, Goddess of Inspiration, I am you. Thank you, God, Goddess, and all the powers that be, for blessing my heart, quieting my mind, and igniting the passion in my soul. I am one with you, and with you I say, and so it is, and it is so. Amen. Before you say the prayer in the following chapter, think about a goal or a desire, something that you've been wanting, that you've been asking for, that you have a deep desire to experience. Now is the time to ask for the inspiration to call it into being. Then get comfortable in your prayer seat, take a few slow, deep breaths, and speak this prayer out loud. Inspiring Creation. Dear God, in this moment, I open up all that is inside me so that I may be moved, inspired, and connected to something bigger than myself. I humbly admit that I've been unable to manifest this desire inside the confines of my ego structure. I confess to you now that I don't know how to do it and that I can't do it alone. I affirm my connection to that miraculous power that exists inside and outside me, the all-knowing, ever-loving force that sustains me and brings me the fulfillment of all my desires. I ask the powers that be to join me, to align with me and my highest self, and I invite my ego and my lower self, my fear and self-doubt, to relax, to be soothed and embraced by the warmth and the grandness of my holy self. I ask all parts of me, all aspects of me, to come into alignment with the fulfillment of my desire. I now declare my desire out loud, and my words are lifted into the realm of consciousness where my dreams are turned into reality. Thank you for this, and so it is, and it is so. Amen. holy expression. Grant me the courage to speak my truth. Give me the strength to sing my praises. Bless me with the confidence to let my voice be heard. When we allow the well of inspiration to open up inside ourselves, we are gifted with the reconnection of our most expressive self. Each of us has a voice, a great, big, beautiful voice that has a rhythm and a resonance unlike any other. This voice can express itself through any number of channels. It may be with words, with art, with photography, with dance, with cooking, with music, with kids, or with work. Your unique voice is strong, clear, and a contribution to your world. So often I hear people say, "I'm stuck. How can I get unstuck?" But to be stuck is to be in a trance inside your ego. Once you are awake, stuck no longer exists. It is replaced by the unlimited wellspring of divine consciousness. Call on the source of all expression to visit you, open you up, and reveal to you all that you are and all that wants to be expressed through you at this time. Don't try to force it, push it, or make it come. Instead, coax it, seduce it, invite it to come through you now. Here is a lovely prayer written by my good friend and former senior staff member of the Ford Institute, Donna Lipman. This is a woman who found her voice in the shadow process and has literally transformed thousands of lives since. Dear one, at the source of my being, I welcome you in this moment with a grateful and loving heart. I greet you with joy and wonder, and I bless you for your gift of divine guidance. I call upon my body, mind, and soul to be open to the healing only you can impart. I pray that the gift you have bestowed upon me of ingenious purpose be shared and fulfilled. I pray for my total freedom and freedom for all beings in this world. I pray to be a worthy inheritor of your creative spirit and a divine guide for others. Thank you for gracing me with bold, outrageous self-expression. Thank you from every cell of my being for the ability to cry out loud and laugh out loud. Thank you for guiding me to my truest and fullest self. I revel in singing skies and dancing waters. Knowing I am safe and protected by your love, I passionately sing your praises from the highest mountaintop. For so it is, and it is so. Amen. The Holy Elixir. Let me be God's alchemist. Let me turn water into wine, mud into gold, and my wounds into wisdom. Let me know a grateful heart. There is nothing better than a grateful heart. A heart filled with appreciation, joy, love, humility, and a dash of open-heartedness is the perfect elixir. This perfect elixir is an alchemical potion to ensure good health, vitality, passion, and pleasure. This life-affirming, blood-enriching potion gives us a direct line to divine consciousness. The blissful feelings of gratitude and appreciation provide us with sweet confirmation that we are in alignment with our highest self. Don't you love it when you have a grateful heart? Whenever I'm present to all the gifts that surround me, whether it's a glimpse of the beautiful Pacific Ocean, a giant black crow flying by my window, the perfect mix of turkey, sweet potato, stuffing, and gravy in one scrumptious forkful, or an evening with my favorite spiritual teacher, Amici, singing, chanting, praying, and meditating, life seems so easy, so precious, so plentiful. All of that, along with a special smile from my son, and the only words left to say are thank you. In the attributed words of the great German mystic Meister Eckhart,